In Paul's day, the Colossian Christians, the Christians living in this city, Colossae, in modern-day Turkey, the Christians were surrounded by competing perspectives. Colossae's location on an important highway at a time of considerable mobility and the moving and mixing of different ethnic groups that typified the Roman Empire, it meant that the population of Colossae was very diverse. The majority of the Christians Paul was writing to were undoubtedly Gentile, but a good few would also have been Jews. So there was this diverse population. There was an exposure to the latest ideas as people travelled on that major highway. Colossae was a place where there were many different religious and philosophical viewpoints, a diverse population where people thrived and mixed together. As we think about Colossae, it sounds a lot like London. And the Apostle Paul knew that the Colossian Christians then would have to deal with plausible arguments from people around them who denied the central truths of the Christian faith. The Christians in Colossae faced a situation where there were pressures on them, much like the situation Christians face in London tonight and in the Western world. Today, as in the first century, there is that diversity in society. There's no consensus on ultimate reality and truth. And there's a mixing of all sorts of different viewpoints. In his book, A Secular Age, the Canadian philosopher Charles Taylor puts it like this. Belief in God is no longer self-evident to people, he says. There are many alternatives. And this will also likely mean that at least in some situations, it will be hard for Christians to maintain their faith. So he's pointing out this experience is likely. That there are going to be situations where we will meet and mix with people who have very different outlooks, and some will be hostile to the Christian faith. That's something we are likely to face in modern-day London. And if you're a Christian tonight, it's likely you've already experienced something of that. Perhaps in your workplace, perhaps in the street where you live, perhaps even in your family, there are people who have a totally different view of reality. Maybe their view is secular. Maybe their view is of a different religious outlook. Maybe their view is just of a vague spirituality. There are people who also are led astray by cults and all sorts of groups who try to dethrone Jesus Christ from his place of authority and power as the one who is the Son of God and God the Son. So these alternatives are around us and they pressurize us as we seek to make Jesus Christ known and persevere in our faith. So I'm saying the threat we face, the pressures we face today, are a lot like the pressures that the Christians in Colossae faced. And we should pay attention to the way Paul deals with that situation. And the way he deals with it is by pointing them to their greatest treasure. What do you treasure above all things, he's asking them. And he's pointing out to them that there is a person we should live for, a person we should treasure above all others. And that person is the great Saviour, Jesus Christ. So in the verses we're going to look at, the opening verses in chapter 2 tonight, let's look first at the burden of ministry contending for the Church of Jesus Christ. That was Paul's burden, that was Paul's passion, that was Paul's desire. To contend for the church of Jesus Christ. To make Jesus Christ known. It may be that some of you have aspired to become a missionary or a preacher. Many young believers do that at some time or another. out of thankfulness to Jesus Christ and wanting to serve him. There are those that God calls missionaries, preachers, whose full-time role is to make Jesus Christ known in that way. And if that is you right now, either here tonight or listening online, then get in touch with me. We have the unique privilege here in Kensett Evangelical Church of sharing a site with London Seminary. And at London Seminary, there are many fantastic ways to serve and train for Christian ministry. But then many believers also come to appreciate that they can and serve Jesus Christ, and that they should do so in their employment, in their home, in their community, in the local church. Maybe you discern God has given you that combination of gifts and personality and preferences and talents to make him known where you are placed at this present moment. And he's given you that burden to make Jesus Christ known in the setting where you are. So as Paul writes to the Colossians, he's saying to them, share this burden with me, he's saying, to make Jesus Christ known. Now, Paul had never visited the church of Colossae. He'd never personally been to that city. So what was their expectation? What was their image of him as a minister? There are lots of people around us whose vision of a minister is shaped by the Vicar of Dibley. Well, that's a far cry from what the Apostle Paul speaks of here. But Paul wants them to know whatever expectations they have of him, whatever they think of him, they're to have an image that is realistic. I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you, he writes to them, and for those in Laodicea. And as for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. One paraphrase puts it like this, that Paul is writing to them and he says, I want you to realize that I continue to work as hard as I know how for you, and also for the Christians over at Laodicea. Not many of you have met me face to face, but that doesn't make a difference. Know that I am on your side, right alongside you. You are not in this alone. So Paul says, he struggles, he works hard. He has this conflict for the church in Colossae. Now we know from the letters of the New Testament that Paul was burdened for many churches. But Paul, without a mobile phone, without email, without Zoom, without Facebook, Paul wants them to know, although it's harder for him to keep in touch with them, that he has this burden, this concern for them. So Paul uses a strong word to describe his work as a gospel minister and preacher. Conflict, he says in verse 1. I want you to know, he says, what a great conflict I have for you. It's the word that could be used to describe the stress a marathon runner would face, running a marathon. Paul's conflict, his deep commitment, his dedication. It may be the Christians in Colossae felt neglected. Where was Paul? What was he doing? Why didn't he come and visit them? So he says to them, now I say this lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. It may be they were in danger of being led astray, deceived. Though I am absent from you in the flesh, yet I am present in spirit, Paul says. Now, there were times when Paul in his ministry settled in a certain place, sometimes for some years, as in Ephesus. Paul's work as a missionary, a church planter, an evangelist. But at some times he was constantly on the move. So even though these believers in Colossae had never met Paul, he wanted them to know he was working hard on their behalf. And as we apply that then to ourselves tonight, as applied to myself and as I apply it to every believer, I'm saying, as we seek to make Jesus Christ known, to live for him and to make the message of the gospel known, don't get distracted. There are many things around us in London that might distract us. We're living in a city where there's so much going on all the time. And it's easy to get caught up in that world and lose focus on what's really important. Don't get distracted, Paul is saying. Keep Jesus Christ at the center of your life. And keep working hard for the gospel. Don't get discouraged. It's easy to become discouraged. We're surrounded by people for whom Jesus Christ is just a swear word. So making Jesus Christ known can be hard work. It's meant to be hard work. But keep going. We'll have lots of opportunities for that in the next few weeks. Every week, there are a group of people that go out from the church here in door-to-door evangelism, weather permitting. There are people from time to time who go out into the open air. In the coming weeks, there are Christmas invitations that can be given out personally, but can also be distributed in various streets around the church. Here's a hard work for you. Praying. Praying. Praying is hard work sometimes. Praying in the prayer meeting, hard work. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. If we give up, we will not see the fruit. Don't give up. The gospel is bigger than our plans, even our dreams. So let's keep putting Jesus Christ first and making him known. If the Apostle Paul were here, he would tell us, keep Jesus Christ central, front and center. If we were to talk to any of the missionaries we support, they would tell us that no sacrifice is too great for Jesus Christ. If you were to talk to someone here in the church who's been involved in making Jesus Christ known for many years, giving time and energy and working hard, tired at the end of a week, but you ask, is it worth it? They would say, no sacrifice is too great for Jesus Christ and the gospel. So Paul has this burden for ministry, and we are to work hard. But as we make the gospel known and work hard, keep Jesus Christ front and center. The burden of ministry, contending for the church of Jesus Christ. The second thing he says here is the goal of ministry, growing in the wisdom of Jesus Christ. We sang a hymn about wisdom earlier. In verses 2 to 4, Paul writes to the Colossians that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. The gospel, he says, is not to be kept secret. It is a mystery. Now mystery in the Bible is a technical word that means something that previously was hidden. It was hidden before, but it has now been made known. It's been declared. It's now an open secret, if you like. It's been declared in Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news of the saving work of Jesus Christ, revealed progressively through the Bible. God has revealed that to his people. Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And certainly this was Jesus Christ's own understanding of the scriptures. John 5 verse 39, Jesus said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. The Bible is full of Jesus Christ. We read in Luke's gospel some weeks ago, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So let's make the message of the Bible known. And keep reading the Bible. I talked to a young woman this last week who's been attending a so-called church for over 20 years. She's never read the Bible for herself. She doesn't even own one. Now, the church that she's been attending doesn't encourage her to read the Bible. But Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So read the Bible. And read the Bible until you see the smiling face of Jesus from the pages of the Word of God. If you want some help in reading the Bible, let me commend to you a booklet that I'm using with Wendy at the moment called Table Talk. If you want a past copy, you can have a copy of Table Talk. It's a daily devotional, help you to read the Bible. Some people use Spurgeon, morning and evening. But whatever you're using, or if you're using McShane's pattern for reading the Bible, whatever way you're doing it, I'm saying, let's be a congregation which reads the Bible. Let's get to grips with the Bible, to understand it, because we want to make Jesus Christ known, the Jesus of the Bible, the real Jesus. And the aim for that is not just for reading it because it's good to read it, and that's good, but that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Paul's goal was to encourage them to press on in unity in Jesus Christ, knit together in love. He's saying there's a strong bond that God knits together these believers in Colossae, that they will understand and know more and more of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's accomplished in their hearts and lives. So that's why I'm saying read the Bible. That's why a weekly Bible study is important in the life of the church. It's great that next Sunday morning, after the morning service, we can have a church lunch together. Let's use that to build gospel unity, the church like a family, growing together in our understanding of Jesus Christ. Take the opportunity to speak to someone about Jesus Christ whom you've never spoken to before. There is a deep encouragement that Paul speaks of here, of being knit together in love. Love for one another. Now, it's sad that there are people who say they're Christians these days, but do not